Why has the stock market been falling this year? Concern about economic growth in China is a popular explanation. The latest official measurement of China's economy is out today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The answer is China's economy grew by 6.9% in 2015. That's the smallest increase of any year since 1990, but it is the target the Chinese government has been trying to hit for an economy in transition. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai on the story behind those numbers.
First, the bad news about China's shifting economy.
The risk is if the government doesn't do enough structural reform, you wind up with lower and lower growth, higher and higher debt, and pretty soon you wind up looking like Japan in the early 1990s.
Arthur Krober manages Gavikel Dragonomics in Beijing. He predicts that in 2016, China's economy will see a turning point for the worse.
We expect to see factory closures and bankruptcies and layoffs in these heavy industrial sectors to accelerate this year by quite a lot.
Krober estimates 5 to 7 million layoffs for China's heavy industry. Now, the good news.
Positive longer term in China is that basically you do have a high savings rate and you do have the capital now in the country.
JFP Holdings manager Jack Berkowski says the challenge is to distribute that money to the private sector through the capital market. But if the first part of 2016 is any indication, letting the market do its job has been difficult for China's Taipei leadership. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
This weekend marks the last chance that students have to take the old school SAT. Coming in March, a new version of the test that the College Board says will be more closely in line with what people are actually learning in high school. There will be more math and fewer abstruse vocab words. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports on changes in the standardized test market.
One big reason the SAT is changing, it's fallen behind its rival college admissions test, the ACT. David Benjamin Grunbaum is co-owner of Ahead of the Class, a test prep program.
They're trying to catch up, basically, and making some changes so that the SAT can be more marketable.
But those changes may actually help the competition, at least in the short run. Adam Ingersoll is co-founder of Compass Education Group, another test prep company.
This spring, more than 85% of the families we're working with have chosen the ACT.
Basically because they don't want their kids to be guinea pigs for a new test. Ingersoll thinks College Board is making a longer-term play here. It's marketing its new SAT to states and public school districts to be administered to all students as a broader assessment of what they've learned and what they haven't. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Few other places in the country boast as many so-called fast casual restaurants than Colorado. The state is arguably the birthplace of that concept, which falls somewhere between fine dining and fast food. And Colorado's urban centers are quickly building reputations as test markets for new chains. From KUNC, Luke Runyon explains.
In Glendale, Colorado, near Denver, LaQuadra Staples and her husband Jason are checking out a new barbecue joint, a slick, well-lit restaurant called Carve Barbecue.
You know, today we're just out running errands, so we just stopped in for a nice lunch.
Carve bills itself as fast, casual barbecue. It's quick, with brisket and sweet potatoes arranged on butcher paper and pushed down an assembly line. Meals run $9 or $10. The Staples want something a step above what you'd get at a drive-thru window, but don't want to fuss with a server or long wait time.
I usually do like the whole fast, casual thing, like when I'm at work, on my lunch break, because they're quick, and the food's usually a couple of notches up from fast food, so...
Traditional sit-down restaurants struggled after the recession. So did fast food. But during the same time, the market research company NPD Group found fast casuals grew.
So they're looking for basically a full-service quality product in a McDonald's, style efficiency.
That's Mitch Roth, the CEO of Southern Concepts, the restaurant group that owns Carve. Because diners in the state first gave approval to chains like Qdoba Mexican Grill and Noodles & Company, Roth says other restaurateurs see Colorado as a place to launch a new concept.
I think with the number of young people that are moving to Denver, the active lifestyle in Denver, it promotes or it encourages restaurateurs to operate a certain way.
And it does get difficult as you get bigger, and I think a lot of fast casuals are running into that.
Dan Long co-founded the salad chain Mad Greens. Some of his peers have run into food safety and sourcing problems as they've scaled up. Even with the high concentrations of chains in big cities and shopping centers, he says consumers are still willing to pay for it.
I don't think people are suddenly going to stop eating out and figure out that they should be cooking at home or start teaching themselves how to cook.
And that's a larger cultural phenomenon that the fast casual boom is more than happy to capitalize on. In Fort Collins, Colorado, I'm Luke Runyon for Marketplace.
And a word about that industry term fast casual there. If you think about it, the phrase makes little sense. Regular fast food places are already casual. No one ever got kicked out of a McDonald's for wearing a T-shirt. May I offer the restaurant industry this term instead? Fast fancier, or SMIQE maybe? Slightly more interesting and quick enough? Tweet your better descriptions at Marketplace if you want. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.